The story we're about to tell began when Marcella Hazan moved to the United States. Since then, she's established herself as a leading authority on Italian cooking, as the author of 6 cookbooks, winner of countless awards, and co-founder of 3 world-renowned cooking schools with Victor Hazan, her husband, translator, and business partner. Now the Hazans have collaborated on a 7th book, but this one's a memoir called Amarcord, Marcella Remembers. It's published by Gotham Books, and I'm very pleased it has brought Marcella and Victor Hazan back to the show. Hi.
Hello.
Now, Victor, when I hear the word Amarcord, I immediately think of Federico Fellini. Is this a word that's commonly used in Italy?
In a particular part. Go ahead, Marcella.
Yeah. It's a dialect from my part of Italy, which is the same part of Fellini. Uh-huh. And it's a contraction of 3 words. Io mi ricordo. Amarcord. Am is io. Io mi ricordo.
And it's the equivalent of saying,
so
I'm remembering.
Yes, it is.
You've played a major role in redefining the way Americans think of Italian cooking, but didn't you begin your career as an academic, a scientist?
Yes.
So how long did you pursue that career?
Well, it was in 2 different stages, because before I took a doctor degree in geology, paleontology, science, let's say. And I was teaching. In the middle time that I was teaching, I was also studying biology. So, and after, when we married, Victor, in 54, I finished both universities. So it was a long time.
Did you have any interest in cooking at that time?
Not at all.
Would you say that your experience as a teacher in these other areas helped you prepare for this
Well,
career?
I like to teach very much. I like to teach. And that is why when those 6 ladies in the Chinese cooking school asked me to teach them Italian food, and I thought that they were crazy, because I never thought.
You were taking a cooking course when you came here.
Yes,
in a Chinese cooking.
Yes.
Why were you studying Chinese cooking?
Because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good reason. And so when I came home and I told Victor said, well, Marcella, you like to teach. You like to cook now. Why don't you do that and stop complaining?
Well, I'm sure you'd been complaining because you'd moved to this country and discovered that things were different here than you might have imagined. Were you able to even duplicate the kind of food that you'd been eating in Italy at that time?
Well, at the beginning, no, it was a little difficult for many reasons. First of all, because first I have to start and learn how to cook by myself. I didn't have anyone to ask.
You didn't remember what your mother did?
No.
And or your father?
The university that I studied in, they studied all together more than 8 years, that they were not in my town. So I was not in the town with my mother looking at her cooking. But also I was not interested in food. And it was different. That was one of the reasons. And the other reason was that, I have to do it. I do it. I always try to do new things.
Well, Lydia Bastianich has talked about coming here and cooking in a restaurant, and it was Italian-American food, Sicilian-based Italian-American food, not the food that she had actually grown up with. She developed a certain fondness for it, but in those days, because of limited ingredients and because there was a style that had already developed here,
also,
you couldn't really cook in I hate to use that word, authentic, but an authentic
style. The other reason also, that because the ingredients, they were very, very scarce here. And so it was difficult. I remember that the olive oil that I had to use, because it was the only one that exists in America, it was not virgin, extra virgin, and it was terrible. So do you see, all the dishes in Italy that you use olive oil, and you bring out the flavor also of the olive oil. Instead, I had to cover that flavor and bring out the flavor of the other ingredient, because they were not a good flavor, the first one. So that part, it was difficult, you know, to recreate the food. Now they have much more ingredient Italian. They sell Parmigiano Reggiano in the supermarket. When I came here, I had to go to the 9th Avenue to have a piece of Parmigiano. Mm-hmm. And if you read the book, you know, I was so excited about finding Jerusalem artichokes, and that instead they were ginger that I bought, because I never saw ginger, and no one knew about Jerusalem artichokes. So now they think they're changed. You can find many, many Italian ingredients that they are very good, and you can cook much more near to what is the Italian food that what you did before.
Well, now we see Italian regional cooking all over at least big cities like New York. Then there was one style, and I guess it's because of these new ingredients and more people coming here who know about food, perhaps also because of people like you who have introduced the wide range of Italian cuisine to Americans.
Yes, it's incredible, because actually doesn't exist Italian food. Exists the region of Italy.
And you were from the north, at least, when you came here.
Yes, more or less the north, yes. It's 100 miles south of Venice in the coast.
But even in the north, there are very many different areas. For example, Venice, where we lived, had cooking that is so different from Bologna, where we come from originally, and from Genoa, which is also
and further
in the
north,
north in
further
Milan.
North, where there's the a German influence
and the Alto
Adige,
yes. But you know, the Italian also, they're very stubborn, like me. You know, that they want their cuisine, and I remember about a friend of mine that went to Florence. And when he came back, they said, "Did you eat nice?" "No, the food was terrible." They said, "Why? Can you imagine they could not do a dish of tagliatelle with the meat sauce that we have?" And they said, "But darling, you are not here. You are in Florence. It's another cook. But it is very near. Why they don't know how to do it?" They get mad, and they don't understand that it is another region.
Now, Victor, you're from New York, aren't you?
Well, no, I was born not very far from Marcella's hometown, only 8 miles away. But I came here when I was still a small boy, because my parents left Italy in 1939. And so
Did you grow up speaking Italian as well?
I'm sorry?
Did you grow up speaking Italian?
Yes, because at home we spoke Italian. We spoke Italian, and of course, over time, it had become a little bit rusty. So when I went back to Italy and I was in my 20s, Marcella thought my Italian was very funny, you know. But
of course, she couldn't speak English, so her English was even worse.
Her English was even funnier, so.
And how and where did you meet?
We met in her hometown, which is a beach town. It's a resort town. It's also a fishing town.
But
and it's in the area, as I said, it's in the area where I had spent my first childhood. And when I returned to Italy, that was the area that I was most curious to reconnect with.
Were your families happy that the two of you fell
in love? No, they weren't happy because, you know, I come from a long line of Sephardic Jews, and they held very tightly to their tradition. They not only didn't they marry outside the group, they didn't even marry much outside the family. My parents were first cousins, so to marry someone who was both, you know, not even Jewish but Catholic, and that was a tremendous trauma for my mother and father.
And what about your family, Marcella?
Yes, but
they like Victor?
They were. The religion in my family was very strong, but it was always based by love. That was the most important thing. So, meaning that we love each other, that was the most important part.
My guests are Marcella and Victor Hazan. We're talking about Marcella's memoir called Amarcord, Marcella Remembers, published by Gotham Books. written in Italian still by Marcello.
Yes.
Translated, as always, by Victor. Is there more to that collaboration than that?
Well, you know.
There's always a translator. There's always a collaboration anyway when the translator is involved.
Well, yes, it is a collaboration. Collaboration. You see my English? I have to have help. Now, you know, when I write in Italian by hand, very old-fashioned, and I don't think that they're going to read that way. So it's very fast. It's very... and after I gave it to Victor. Now, this book, from when I was born that I was writing what my parents told me until I met Victor, all the material I gave it to him, well, he could not control if it was true or not, no? But after 53 years of marriage, mm-hmm, and recalling things, we had a little problem, you know.
Because you remembered things differently.
Well, yes, of course.
No, because I remember it, yes.
Victor, you say you remembered it correctly. That's you're going to settle this after the show. But you decided to come to the United States. Now, why did you do that? Could you have not kept the marriage going in Italy?
We could have stayed in Italy. You know, in 1955, when we got married, it wasn't very easy to find work. You know, at that time, Italy was still climbing back out of the Second World War. And so for somebody who was no longer an Italian citizen, it would have been difficult to find work, and I had never done anything.
But what did you think your wife would be doing here? She couldn't teach in an American university. She couldn't speak English.
No, she couldn't. She couldn't. She had a career in Italy as a teacher, but I could make more money by working for my father, who was in the fur business. So I accepted that option, even though it wasn't all that agreeable, but we came back. They said, you know, come and work with us. And so we had, economically, it was advantageous. And that's what brought Marcello to New York.
But I started working here doing research in the laboratory. And you know what? I was doing research in pyorrhea. I start right to eat to be in the mouth. No, I did. I like it. But
well, how did you start getting involved in cooking? I'm sure you just wanted to cook some of the things that you've grown up with. Did you have cookbooks?
After 7 years that we lived in America, Victor decided that he wanted to go back to Italy. So I had to stop to work here. And I start teaching, not cooking, in Italy. But after 6 years when I came back, I was without a job in the laboratory, you know. So I did the things that I wanted to do. I did the Japanese flower arrangement. And I took Chinese cooking school, and there started the other career that I never dreamed to have.
Your classmates asked you to start teaching them how to cook Italian food.
Yes.
And by that time, you had kind of figured out how to make it work in this country? Had ingredients improved over that period?
Well, up to a certain point, yes, because there were already 7 plus 6 is 13 years more. You know, there some ingredients that were arrived.
But
you
then...
You could find artichokes in the supermarket and before you didn't.
But there's a big leap between teaching cooking and being a published cookbook author. How did that happen?
Well, learning that everything that happened to me with the story of the cooking, it was something that happened, something that I didn't look for. It's not that I wanted, that I worked to have it. They asked me to teach cooking. They asked me also to write a book. Now, teaching, if you like to teach, is not difficult because at one point, you know, teaching is always the way to try to transmit what you know to the other people. Writing a book is different because it's much, much different. But I didn't know anything about writing a book.
And what about translating recipes? Is it different than translating straight prose?
It's a more organized, less intuitive kind of work, but you know, it wasn't that difficult because that first book that we did, and it was really the basis of Marcella's success, and it's the book that helped open up the market to Italian cooking. The first book was built on the food that we had every day at home, because eating was our central activity. It was what we lived for. So Marcella was totally in command of the cooking, and I was totally in command of how that cooking should taste. And so when I sat down to transmit it into English, it just flowed. It came as though it had been stored there, and we opened it up, and it flowed out.
That also was a big help, because Victor really doesn't cook. And Victor has a character much more organized than me. I'm much more impulsive. When I teach, I never measure. Mm-hmm. When he didn't understand something, he was coming to me and said, I don't know, all the string beans that I eat in this house, they don't have both hands. They said, of course, I took it out. Why? You didn't say it. Okay, give me back the recipe. How much
he had
water
to understand
you
the
want,
recipe.
You know, to boil it. And you know, it was difficult also to work in that way.
Now, a major breakthrough also was Craig Claiborne, who was the restaurant reviewer at the time. And he loved discovering people, you, later Zarella Martinez, some others. But he made you famous by writing about you in the Times?
Well, there's no question that Craig was the opening of the door, you know, Craig. If Craig hadn't come along, Marcella probably would have stopped cooking. She was getting tired of the same old six people coming.
Teaching cooking.
I mean, she would have stopped. She wouldn't teach any long. But Craig came, and you know, her phone never stopped ringing after that.
And now there's a cooking school in Italy. You live in? Is it still? Is it?
No, not for us. My son Giuliano has a cooking school in Italy.
You're living in Florida these days.
Yeah, no, I live in Florida.
In Florida, no. No, I don't teach. I stopped teaching.
So we have this new book. And that's maybe that's work in itself. And I want to thank you so much for being with us, by the way, Marcella. And we'll be hosting a lunch next Thursday. That's the 9th in Coast Cobb, Connecticut. And then she'll be hosting a Q&A at the Montauk Club in Park Slope on Friday the 10th. For details and ticket information, please go to our show page at wnyc.org. The book, Amarcord, Marcella Remembers, published by Gotham Books. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.